Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. We're on page 20. We'll begin reading with the fifth paragraph that starts Moderate Drinkers Have Little Trouble, through two paragraphs ending in And May Even Need Medical Attention. Today's readers, for the 12 Steps, Patrick O., the 12 Traditions, Lila M., readers of the text, Rick J., Nancy R., Ramona A., thanks for being our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Anne-Marie M., the second hour host is Leah S., and Kathy S. will have announcements this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,416. That's 21,416. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,417. That's 21,417. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patrick O. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Patrick O., recovering compulsive eater. One, we admit we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick O. And I will now ask Lila M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Lila M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20 in There Is a Solution. We'll begin on the fifth paragraph, Moderate Drinkers Have Little Trouble, reading through two paragraphs ending and may even need medical attention, and comments will be on both paragraphs. And I will now ask Rick J. to please begin reading.
Thank you for your service, Lisa. My name is Rick Jay. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Moderate drinkers have a little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have good reason for it. They can take it or leave it alone. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker. He may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. So, yeah, I don't know much about, the moderate eater. I've never been one. But, I know that they exist, and I'm surrounded by moderate eaters in my household. But there's some really big differences that I can see between me and the moderate and certain types of hard eaters. I have a hopeless condition of mind and body. And, it's more of a habit for them. And there's different stages of a habit where it may be harder the longer they've done it, but they don't have an obsession in the mind that keeps taking them to food, which ultimately triggers the physical allergy, which ultimately tries to kill them. So that's what I have. That is what I was born with. I don't know why I have it. I just have it. And I know that sometimes people can, eat a lot at a family reunion, because I've seen this. And then a couple of days later, they're like, I ate so much at the family reunion. I really am not very hungry. I'll just eat very lightly. And that blows my mind, actually. I'm like, wow, yeah, that's an option. So I don't have that option. I don't have that built-in app. I am an allergic type, like Dr. Silkworth pointed out. I am part of a distinct entity. Something happens to me that doesn't happen to them. and I need a spiritual solution. They don't. So I have to remember that even though I am surrounded by people who can have desserts and can have certain fried foods and certain things that trigger me, they don't have that hopeless condition of mind and body. It's just they do it for enjoyment, and if they're not enjoying it, they don't. And with some people, I know that they go to a point where their doctor is telling them that they have a serious issue, and it might be a little bit harder for them, but they can do it. It's about a habit. My doctor called me a ticking time bomb, and I came home that night and celebrated with a horrendous binge, upset my son in tears, lied to him, and then he caught me eating. And that was the famous Skittle story that I've told so many times. So I don't know anything about moderation. If it's worth doing, it's worth being addicted to. That's the way my brain works. And I don't want to live that way today. So I choose to live in the solution of the spiritual program of action laid out in this book. And other people do not need that. And without a path.
Thank you, Rick J., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Christina J.
Katie G. from Boston.
Christina, Katie.
Katie B. from New York.
Katie B.
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H.
Francis D. from Michigan.
Francis B. Y'all are being so kind this morning.
Lynn F. from Flushes.
Lynn, say your last initial again.
F is in Frank.
F is in Frank. Okay. Anybody else?
Annette.
Marge.
Okay. I have Annette and Marge. Let's stop there. And you'll have to give me the first initial of your last name when I get to you. So this is who I have: Christina J, Katie G, Katie B, Ken W H, Francis B, Lynn F, Annette, and Marge O. So Christina J, you're up, followed by Katie G.
Morning, Lisa. Again, thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. You know, what a beautiful dream. A dream to eat moderately. Oh, my God. What is that? Well, I can tell you that I've had that dream come true in one way. When I'm abstinent, I'm eating my abstinent foods. I am eating moderately, and I love it. I love my foods, and I love how the cravings aren't there. And I can eat, leave the table, go to work, not have cravings on the way to work, not want to stop at Starbucks and get a coffee and a brownie or 10 brownies, whatever it might end up being. And I am in heaven. And what ensures that is this program of action. Because I did have moderate eating on diets throughout the past. You know what kept me eating moderately on those diets? Because I wanted to be skinny. I wanted to be a Vogue model. I wanted to be a star, you know, a musical star. And I could not imagine anyone signing me to a deal or putting me on a runway if I was fat. So my goal, my dream was to push, 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 exercise, 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 and be on those diets. And that held me for a short time. But then life would come along. You know, life on life's terms was not being lived by me because I had this allergy. And once I started in on something good, because the little girl in me was always wanting goodies, you know, that's what she learned when she was born, that goodies were going to take away the pain. You know, the goodies were going to take away the misunderstanding she had about what the hell was going on around her in her home. That was the love that she chose because there was no other love at that time. So that held me for a while, but that didn't last long. Being skinny got old. Believe it or not, those that have never been really skinny, I mean, it gets old. And it doesn't give you what you need. It doesn't give you the love you need. It gives you catcalls from men and jealousy from women. That was my experience. And it did not give me love. It did not give me acceptance. And it made me really uncomfortable to be skinny. So that's left me. And now I'm just happy in the body, the healthy body that God gave me. I have a few more pounds to lose from my last round of relapses. But I am thrilled to be eating, quote, absently and moderately around that. Now,
As I've said, the diets didn't hold me. But what holds me is this program, this 12-step program of releasing emotions daily, the 10th and doing my 11th and praying, staying close to God. Being of service is a huge thing that keeps me eating my moderate, abstinent meals. And when I get cravings for something because of maybe some small emotional upset, it doesn't drive me to the food. It drives me to the phone. It drives me to my husband. It drives me to my fellows. It drives me to the program of action. It drives me to prayer and connection with God. So we can eat moderately if we're in this program and eating our abstinent foods. That's the good news for me. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing that. But I am a real compulsive overeater, and I cannot afford to take one bite of my crap. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Katie G., you're up, followed by Katie B.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Katie G. in Boston. Yeah, I mean, I love that in this chapter there is a solution. We're talking about the various types of eaters, right? And I think it's really important to me when I came into the rooms, I didn't know that being fat or being underweight didn't mean that you needed to join Overeaters Anonymous. And in the beginning of recovery, I would want to wave my flag, and anyone I saw that was fat or too thin, I thought needed Overeaters Anonymous. But that's not true. What this is telling me is that there are people who can look badly at me or even worse than I do, and they can stop. You know, my favorite illustration is my husband craves a hot fudge sundae. He eats the hot fudge sundae, and then he's satisfied. For me, I obsess about a hot fudge sundae. I eat the hot fudge sundae, and then the physical craving begins. So I can't stop. I cannot control. I have no power. I have no choice, and I have no control. And I got to be honest, I can get angry at, I love you too, baby. I can get angry at moderate eaters. I can get angry at moderate exercisers. I see people running marathons. I see people doing triathlons. And I'm like, well, why can't I? Because this man can stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. They don't go to the ends of the earth, which I do. Right, and it's all about my mental obsession. I feel uncomfortable in my skin, and I start obsessing about something. It doesn't matter what it is. Obsess, 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 and eating will be a step up from my thinking. And that's what we're going to find out. What is a real compulsive eater? And I love that in this chapter, we are taught to identify in. And I have to remember, too, like, it's not up to me to diagnose anyone. I don't diagnose my husband. I don't diagnose my family. My husband looks like a compulsive exerciser, let me tell you. But I need to not diagnose him, and it's not up to me to 12-step anybody just because I think that they have a problem, right? Like, only I can identify if I'm the real deal. And thanks be to God, today I know I am, and that I can surrender each and every day. Like, what a grace of God that I get to live doing inventory, prayer, meditation, and helping others. I'm so grateful that I get to be God's agent today, and that is my solution. And I am a lucky one, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. And Katie B., you're up, followed by Ken W.H.
Hi, good morning. This is Katie B. calling from New York. Thank you for hearing me and for your service. So I really get a lot out of this paragraph or these paragraphs because my personal experience with other substances shows me what a compulsive overeater I am in comparison. So, you know, when I was younger, I used drugs recreationally. And I even think I was physically addicted at some point. And then at some point in my life, I decided it was time to not do that anymore. And I was able to stop. And there's no judgment for people who can't, but I was able to. And similarly, I was a smoker. And I loved smoking. And I found out that I was pregnant with my first child. and I never smoked again. Again, there's no judgment to people who continue to smoke, but I chose not to. I found that that reason of pregnancy was sufficient to stop, and I never smoked again. And with food, I could not stop. Oh, I think I forgot to say I'm a compulsive overeater. I could not stop. And I have a heart condition, and I laid in a hospital bed, and my doctor told me to stop eating the way I was and told me I needed to lose weight. And I was terrified of dying, truly terrified of dying, of leaving my children without their mom. I could not stop. So unlike the moderate or the hard drinker when with these other substances in my life, when it came to food, no matter what, no matter what, a doctor looking me in the eye and telling me to stop, I wanted it so bad to stop. I mean, I've wanted to stop eating over the years for vanity and for selfish, all sorts of reasons. But even for the love of my children, I couldn't stop. And you know what? That was all. I needed that. I needed to be that hopeless to be willing to take these steps and to be willing to ask God for help. And I couldn't do it, and my higher power could and did. And so today I can be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm just so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Katie B. And Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Francis B.
Thank you so much. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I just picked up on the word habit. And I've had lots of habits in my in my life, and most, if not all of them, that I would have called habits are gone. I still have behaviors or idiosyncrasies that some might call habits, at least the way I walk or talk or something like that. But a habit is profoundly different for me than what I came to understand as the illness of compulsive eating that I have. I smoked hard for a number of years, as it says here, the hard smoker, and it was making me sick. I couldn't stop coughing, and I just didn't feel well and everything else, and I knew I needed to quit, and I did. And I haven't smoked in many, 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 many years. I was not addicted to nicotine. It did not trigger an allergy. I just had the habit of smoking and all that goes with it, all the paraphernalia and everything else. With food, it's been different. I have been a hard eater, if you will, all my life. And it wasn't until about 4 years ago that I came into vision and got the doctor's opinion drilled into me that I realized that it was different, that my way of eating wasn't a habit, that I just simply had no control over it, none whatsoever. And I had to surrender to that reality, that I have an illness, not just something I've chosen to do and keep doing, but that I can let go if I had to. This is a whole other ball game. This is a whole other world, and it took a long time for me to really realize that I didn't have the power to just simply put it down. I didn't, and I didn't put it down, and I didn't want to, and I couldn't when I found out that I might need to, and this has all already been said today, and I'm grateful for those who have already pretty well hit upon what it is that these paragraphs have to say. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken W.H. And Francis B., you're up, followed by Lynn F. Francis, press star one.
Hi.
I can't hear you. There you are.
Sorry for the delay. Thank you for your service. I'm grateful to be at a meeting this morning. It's really only been in the last year that I've really distinguished between eating to stuff my emotions and compulsive. And I just thought every one of us who are overweight must be a compulsive eater, and that really is not true. I'm grateful for the graces God has given me to be abstinent and be able to work the program today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Francis B. And Lynn F., you're up, followed by Annette.
Hi, this is Lynn F. from Washington State. I'm sitting in an airport, so I don't know how much background noise you're going to hear, so I'm just going to be quick. Everybody's already said everything I was going to say, so the other thing I can say is to anybody out there, just please do not give up. Just keep coming back, because the food addiction, I think, is the hardest of all of them, because we are just surrounded. And when you finally get the abstinence, you can go anywhere and see anything, and it doesn't call your name. And that is such freedom. That's incredible freedom. It's amazing, and that's why I want to stay abstinent today and not take one bite of something that's going to make me crave, and make food just come alive and call my name. Like, not having that is the most beautiful thing. And I, too, have, I quit all substances, you know, anything that I might have had in my life, smoking, alcohol, whatever, November 1st, 2014, because I wanted to do a long meditation sit that required it. And I've never broken that abstinence date on all those things that I have broken my food abstinence so many times, that when I don't break my abstinence, within a day or two, I'm completely sane around the food, and it is a miracle. And so keep coming back, no matter how many times you have to start over, keep coming back till the miracle happens. And that's what I have to say. Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Lynn F. And Annette, you're up, if you'll give me the first initial of your last name, followed by Marge O.
Good morning. This is Annette F., as in Frank, and I'm in Florida. And the food, I want to say, is just a one portion of my disease. I have an obsession of the mind, and I refuse to surrender. You know, I mean, this morning I realized I have to do everything my way, thinking I'm in control. And in reality, I'm not in control, ever. I have a sick husband. I have no control over that. I do have control what goes into my mouth, and that has subsided a great deal. But I like to think, you know, I'm okay. But I'm not okay, or I wouldn't be 50 pounds overweight. And yeah, I'm older, but older people lose weight too. I hear Janice say things like, I want to be thin and eat what I want. And that's exactly what I want. And that is insanity. It's insanity for me to realize that just surrender, just give up. Look at your refrigerator the night before, pick your food for the day, and if something comes up, just work with the sponsor and say, this came up. I'm out of house. I'm not home. I can't eat what I planned because I might, you know, be at a hospital room or a doctor's office or whatever. But it is the obsession of the mind and the insane thinking that we have control over anything. And I've been in the program a long time, and I've had years of beautiful, beautiful abstinence. But I think this last round with my husband getting sick kind of threw me into the stratosphere. And, you know, and even though I talk to God all day long, maybe apparently I'm not listening, but that, you know, it's not a habit. You know, I have, like somebody else said, I've had habits that were not easy to stop, but you know, it took me 6 tries to stop smoking, but I did it. And I also did, you know, had abstinence, but for some reason in my mind right now, I need to be in control and I'm not. It's just an illusion. So I, you know, I, without this program, I'm not sure where I'd be, but I will never leave these 12 steps ever. You know, good, bad, up, down, doesn't matter. These 12 steps at least bring me to some sanity. And last night I dropped something on the floor and my husband said, what are you doing? And I said, I have to pick something up. And I stayed there. I stayed on my knees. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I thought I'd say hello to God while I'm down here. So that, you know, thank you. And with that, I pass. And if you're new, never, ever give the program up.
Thank you, Annette F. And Marge O., please share with us.
Good morning. Marge O. from Walpole, Massachusetts. Gratefully covered compulsive overeater. And I couldn't resist speaking today on this paragraph. And thank you for all the folks that make this meeting happen and also the people that shared today. I don't have anything new to add except talk about an addict. When I smoked 3 packs a day. When I gave them up, I gained 30 pounds within the first 8 weeks of smoking. And I gave the cigarettes up 1 hour at a time, literally. I would say, okay, you can get till 9 a.m. We'll discuss 9 a.m. what's going to happen after that when 9 a.m. came. And I didn't know I was a hopeless addict when it came to doing many, many things, smoking and the food. As I said once before or many times, I was always hungry when I was a kid, and I didn't know that I had the allergy. But I do know I have the obsession of the mind. I also know as time went on, that became more and more apparent that once I got something into my head, as they say, I couldn't change my mind. I was driven to do whatever that was, whether it was to lose weight, exercise 7 days a week, clean a bedroom. Couldn't stop until everything was done and everything was taken care of and put back where it belonged. I didn't know that that was all part of this disease. So I am eternally grateful for the program. I've been here many 24 hours. And I've been in visions, I think, probably 5 or 6 years now. Yesterday was a long day. My husband had a heart catheterization. He had to have a stent put in. His blood pressure tanked. And I didn't leave until later at night. And when I came home, wouldn't it have been easy just to throw a sandwich together and have something? Because I never did have my supper. I had a very late lunch. And I don't know how your pain works, but when I skip a meal like that, because I didn't have breakfast thinking I'll have it when I get there, and it didn't work out that way. Everything was different than what I had planned. And so you hear that I planned, but the hospital and other things, you know, had more of an idea of what was going to happen than I did. So, and I didn't get all upset about that. But back to the sandwich, yeah, that would have been easier, but I wouldn't have made a good choice, and I don't eat bread. So, you know, I had a simple dinner. It was later than usual, but I wasn't ready to go to bed anyway. I was a little wound up, needless to say. But he's doing fine. I'll go in and get him this morning. I have a commitment to another 12-step program at 9 o'clock. I'll do that, open the door, and hopefully somebody else will be there to stay the full time. I would like to leave early, but a day at a time. And this book doesn't lie. This book, I was told this more than 40 years ago, if you had nothing else but the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you could get better in this program, and that's the truth of it. And I was very fortunate to be exposed to that book early on, and to some AA people and meetings, too.
Time.
So, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Marge O. And we are on page 20. Sharing on the 5th and 6th paragraph that begins, moderate drinkers have little trouble, and ends, may even need medical attention. Who else would like to share on this reading?
KK.
Jennifer C. Somebody?
Ross Sam.
Larry K.
Murphy.
Maya S.
Maya K.
Okay,
Ross
hang
Sam.
On. Larry K. I got you, Russ.
Maya K.
Okay. Oh, Maya. That's who I missed. I got you first, Maya. So I have Maya K., Jennifer C., Russ M., Larry K. Who else I'm
Maya S.
Maya S.
Maria
K.
Somebody else, K and Maria.
Gay.
Gay. Thank you, Gay. And Maria, your first initial of your last name?
G.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. We'll see how far we get. Maya K, you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Hi. I hope I'm unmuted. This is Maya K., compulsive overeater and bulimic in recovery from New York. And I really like this reading. And thank everybody for all the service you do. I'm on my walk right now, so a little out of breath. But when I heard this paragraph, I thought of the difference between my husband and I. You know, he's overweight and has high blood pressure. And, you know, but he was a skinny kid, and he had his gallbladder taken out. And he's not supposed to eat certain foods, but he doesn't let his weight stop him from going to work like I did. He has high self-esteem, it seems. Everyone loves him. He's selfless. He's so giving. He's social. Everything that I've always had problems with, you know. And, like he'll share his food. I would never do that, you know. I eat every speck on my plate. He doesn't. And it doesn't run his life. This addiction ran my life. It ruined my life. It like brought me to my knees, made me want to die. It just wanted to kill me. So I don't, you know, push this on anyone unless they come to me. And I adore him just the way he is. And, but I needed this because it was ruining my life. I mean, I needed to, what's the word? I found the word rationalize, in OA. I realized I had rational lies I was telling myself that, oh, I could do this, I could do that. But this program has really made me be honest just with myself. What I can, what I cannot eat, and I just pray every day just to be willing to do God's will for today. And I think everybody's got their own higher power and their own willingness for that day, and it's personal. And I really like this paragraph, and I feel like I've come a long way, and I'm really grateful for the program, and I guess that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Maya K. Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Russ M.
Hey, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So what sets the real compulsive overeater apart is what I've had to learn. With this paragraph and all the others, I've had to learn what sets me apart. You know, first of all, utter defeat. Like I have to admit utter defeat. The hard drinker doesn't have to, but I have to admit utter defeat. I have been defeated by this disease. I cannot get well until I admit complete defeat. And I have to accept that that's just the way it is. I have been fully defeated. There is no diet. There is no new book. There is no new program out there. There is no counseling session. There is not even a new sponsor or a new meeting, you know, that can fix this for me. I went through all the sponsors. Right? I would listen to the meetings and I'd think, that one, if I can work with that one, I'll get it. Nothing in or out of this program can save me. There's one that can save me now. once I cross that line, there is only one that can save me, and it is God. That's what this book tells me. Once I've crossed that line, I need God to rescue me. And I don't want to admit that, you know. Personal powerlessness is something that we don't want to admit. Our natural instincts cry out against it. I want to believe I can get this. I want to believe I can tackle this. I want to believe I can get on top of this. Give me just one more chance. I can figure this out. And I have to admit complete and utter defeat. Hands up in the air. I'm all done. And I have to remember that I'm really not all done, right? Like, I thought step one was like, I'm all done. My binge last night was so bad. There's no way I'm going back, right? There's no way. That binge was horrible. And I would eat myself into an oblivion, hoping that I would reach my quote unquote bottom. I guess I didn't reach my bottom yet. I got to eat more till I reach my bottom. And then I would eat a whole jar of peanut butter and say, okay, that had to be my bottom. I learned that step one meant that I conceded that I wasn't done. It doesn't matter how bad my binge was last night. Unless and until I got an entire psychic change, I wasn't done. And the only way to get it was through this work, through these steps, through this process where God saves me through this process. So, utter defeat. I need God. Only God can save me now. And that, to me, is where I truly admit that I am the real deal, compulsive overeater. Huh. You all, with that, I pass.
Jennifer C. and Russ M., you're up, followed by Larry K. Russ, star one.
Okay, sorry about that.
There you go. That's
Russ,
right.
Emery. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much. Russ M., recovered compulsive eater from Norristown, PA. So, man, I'm a ball of emotions listening to the shares. How blessed are we that we have this way of life? How blessed are we that we have the 12 steps, AA, OA, that we could live a little bit normal? You know, I look back and I think nothing, no amount of money, no doctor, no Sicilian father getting on my gulo saying, yo, you're getting fat, you're going to die, could change me. When I was a knucklehead at 19, 20 years old on the road wrestling, I'd be boozing it up every night. But then I was like, I don't want to do this no more. I'm tired of this. You know, I'm trying to take care of my body. Why am I putting poison in it? I could stop. And it always led to the food, by the way. When I got into practice and I'm working, I hurt my back, had a bad back injury. For like a week, I needed the pills to get going. I was getting high off the pills. And I said, you know what? I don't like this. This is not good for me. I could put it down. But I can never do it with the food. I was a straight junkie. I was bleeding my business, thousands of dollars down the tubes over food, over bad mistakes, stupid mistakes, because I couldn't think straight, because I had to get high. I rolled through my kids' communion money, their Christmas money. Russell Montalbano stole from his family. But then I sit here 7 and a half or whatever later, and I'm forgetting those times. I read this passage, and it brings me back to the times where I had no control. I was losing everything. I'm a junkie. I am a junkie at heart. This is what I am. And only through the grace of God, only through these 12 steps that I'm alive. Not even living a life, that I'm alive, that I can be a little productive. So when I read this, it's like, yeah, I was nothing hard about me. I'm a straight junkie. And I tried everything. And I was a proud guy. I know nutrition. I know health. And I can never apply it to myself. And I was an utter failure in life. And these 12 steps, and guess what? This meeting in particular, I'm going to say it, because I've been to other meetings, and the message was not spoken. I came into this meeting, I got close to God, and I worked these steps, and it's changed my life. Now, I got a lot more work to do. I'm just scratching the surface. But I would not be alive if it wasn't for this. So what's my point? I don't know my point either. I'm just excited. I want to tell you, you could do it. It could be done. It could be done. And God can heal you by working and staying in the process of these 12 steps in this way of life. All right. You all have a good day. Love you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ M. And Larry K., you're up, followed by Leah S.
Thanks so much, Lisa. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, why do we even need a classification system here? You know, we're talking about a simple classification. We're talking about the moderate and the heavy drinker. And then we'll get to the real alcoholic. Human beings, we need to have a classification system. It's useful to us because I know thyself. I need to know who I am. Because if I don't know who I am in the context of this program, it's like if I have stage one cancer, the treatment is different than if I have stage four cancer, right? I need the correct treatment. And that's right. Now, I could have stage one cancer, and I could progress to stage two and three, but the treatment is different. If I have, you know, panic disorder, I will tell you in my world, the treatment is different than if I have general anxiety. It's just different. And same with here. The treatment for me as a compulsive overeater with both the allergy and the obsession is to have a spiritual awakening sufficient to drive out the obsession, sufficient to eradicate the obsession. It does many more things than that, most certainly. There's people on the line that will tell you that. I'll tell you that. Absolutely. It's beautiful. But one of the primary things it does is it drives out the obsession. If I come into the program and I don't have both the allergy and the obsession, I certainly could benefit from working the 12 steps. There's no question about that. But perhaps I don't need the 12 steps. I don't need to have a spiritual awakening because perhaps I don't have the obsession. It doesn't need to be driven out. And that's what they're talking about here. Now, we do know the disease is progressive. Okay, so someone can start out as a moderate, become a hard drinker, perhaps become the full-blown deal. That is true. But if I don't understand, it's like putting, if I am a true compulsive overeater, I have the allergy and the obsession, and I treat it with abstinence alone. That's like someone said one time, I heard it was beautiful on this meeting, she said, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Utterly insufficient treatment for the problem. You know, and so I think it's important that I know who I am. I know the process, the implementation of the steps is going to produce a psychic change, a spiritual awakening customized just for you, but it will drive out the obsession. It will eradicate the obsession. And when the obsession is eradicated, many more things will unfold. But that has to happen first. We have to cross the bridge to freedom, and that's why we advocate first knowing who you are. Then if you know who you are, wrapping up, if you know who you are, implement the steps, be brought into alignment with God, and you can, and the obsession will be driven out. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. And Leah F., you're up, followed by Gay K.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Everyone, every single one of you in this meeting, I don't know how I go after you guys, such unbelievable shares. I can only share about myself, and one thing I got to put down to you is that I was petrified to get out of my bed and face myself, really. That was the first thing. And when I finally understood that I am a compulsive overeater. Also, I want to share that pain was so deep that I didn't want to confront pain. I knew everything that you're talking about, but I didn't want to confront my pain. It was so raw. And I just didn't know what I didn't know. And again, I'm going to repeat it. I didn't know what I didn't know, that God can and would help me restore my life and me to sanity, and that it is not a shame to admit your pain. It's not a shame to face your life. It's not a shame for anything. This program has literally changed my life on a 180-degree angle. And again, I don't know what I don't know. I still don't know what is in store for me. One thing I do know, I love coming to these meetings. I love being honest about myself. Where else can I be as honest and as truthful and as hopeful and as so much encouragement as in these places and these rooms? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. And Gay K, you're up, followed by Maria G.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be in these rooms this morning. Truly, I know it's been expressed by other speakers that what has been shared has been profound. And I don't know that I can add anything to it other than my truth. And my truth is that I could give up alcohol after an episode without really looking back. It wasn't a big problem as far as like letting go of it. The food has been a lot different. I've been a chronic dieter since I was 13 years old. I've been in, OA since I was 28. I'm now going to be 70 this year. And I've had some semblance of abstinence, but I think that the semblance of abstinence that I've had has been hard fought, white knuckling, and there wasn't any room for God in there. I recently had an abstinence. I am not 90 days or anything right now. I'm whatever I am, a few days. But I came back this time, and I'm hearing, you've got to turn your will over to the God of your understanding. You've got to turn your problem, my eating disorder, over to the God of my understanding. I kept thinking I was in charge. I'm still in charge. I didn't do my food plan right. I had something I shouldn't have had. I. No. I need to turn to my higher power and ask him for help with every thought that is disturbing to me, with every problem in my life. I have to ask God to guide me and show me the way to peace and serenity and to his will. My problem is bigger than just the food. I thought, oh, I just like food. It's not a big deal. I mean, these people are crazy. You know, food is a problem. Well, just, you know, go out there and do some more research, which I've done many, many times. And I can eat a jar and a box and a bag in one sitting. And that's not normal. I grew up being a thin kid. They called me Skinny Blinks. But that was because I did a lot of activity. I was an active kid. Once puberty hit, everything changed. And I just cannot live my life the fullest without these halls. I have to say that I had experienced, but I sabotage myself all the time. I had experience of my God working in my life, and I had a glimpse of a life second to none, which I really didn't understand when people said that. I really didn't. I believed them, but I just had no reference, no frame of reference to that. But I have now, and believe me, I want that again, because God is going to give it to me again. I believe that as long as I turn my will and my life over to him every day and try to learn what it is he wants for me to do, just to be a positive person, positive tool for him to use. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gay K. And we are just about out of time. Maria G., I hope that you will stay on and share on the next hour. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,423. That's 21423. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nancy R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then. Nancy R., star one.
Hello, hello. Sorry for the delay. Nancy R., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. I am getting to the page. Sorry for the delay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.